Praise the Lord. Good morning. In Psalm 122, verse 1, it says, "A song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem." Do you guys feel like pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem this morning? A Psalm of David. "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" Now, I'm not in the mindset that this specific building is the Lord's house, but we are the Lord's house, and where we gather becomes the Lord's house. And I want to ask you this morning, are you glad that you're here? Are you glad that you have an opportunity to worship the Lord? Would you stand with me, Lord? We thank you, Lord, for this day. God, we thank you, Lord, that we can set aside, Lord, anything in our lives at this time, Lord, that's been keeping us from focusing on you. And Lord, we turn our affections and our attentions to you right now. Lord, let us be in the group that says, "I am glad because I have come to the house of the Lord." Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, you're touching lives, Lord. Thank you, Lord, you're touching Gay and Tegan right now, bringing health and life to them. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that healing is a children's bread, and you're releasing that over their lives right now. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you, Lord, for your joy. We thank you, Lord, for your peace. We thank you, Lord, that those attributes of the Holy Spirit are here today. And Lord, we receive everything that you have for us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thought I can't help but everything changes, and darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring in when you walk into the room. Every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you.
You never leave. I know you never leave.
consume God all we are. Let's just make this a prayer this morning. Giving God permission is really important. He's a gentleman. The Holy Spirit isn't going to just come and wrench your arm and make you do something. It takes a surrender. It takes a submission. It takes a yielding to the Holy Spirit. So when we sing this part, just make this a prayer this morning. You give him permission to work in your life. You give him permission to remove those things that have been hindering you from becoming everything he's called you to be. You give him permission to examine you. And if as the Psalm 139 says, if there's any wicked way in me, remove it, Lord. If there's any wicked way in me, forgive me for it, Lord. If there's any hidden sin, show me, Lord, so that I can live pure and holy and righteous before you. Because you are beautiful, Jesus. Your eyes are like flame of fire. Yeah, let's go ahead and sing that.
Come and consume God, all we are. We give you permission, our hearts are yours. We want you.
Before. We need you more, Lord, in every single way that you can come into our life. More of your power, more of your glory, more of your holiness, more of your righteousness, more of your compassion, more of your love. Lord, we need you now more than ever. We declare that today. We confess that we need you, Jesus. We don't just love you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Lord. And we're so thankful that you're just a whisper away. We're so thankful that you live in us and we can't ever get away from you. All we need to do is turn our eyes to you. All we need to do is set our gaze on you. All we need to do is focus on you. And you're right there. You're right there. You're right there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That your will be done in our lives, Lord. That your kingdom come. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Greet someone. Give them a hug. Love on them. We'll be back. Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you guys ready to do our declaration? Kinda. Don't seem like it. It's okay. Would you stand with me, baby? That'll get you into it. We're going to do the heart of the house. And the heart of the house is what we're declaring over this, not just this building. How many know that you guys are the building of God? You're the house of God. We're declaring over this house, which is us, what God will do and what we declare that he will do in this. Amen? So on three, would you join me? One, two, three. I declare that God is building our church. God is calling us to the basic gospel, and he is awakening our church, that we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord, that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where his heart moves, that we will cultivate a right heart and right mind, and we declare that we are reaching Yakima one life at a time.
Yakima Valley, one life at a time. One heart at a time, one soul at a time, one life at a time. Lord, we thank you, God, that you're the one that's at work in each and every one of us. Lord, we can do things to equip, Lord, and get ourselves ready, but God, it's ultimately you that's at work in us, Lord. And we thank you, God, that we don't have to do this on our own. We thank you, Lord, that you're the one, Lord, that's building your church. Lord, you're the one that's building your house, Lord. We do not want to labor in vain as a people, Lord. We believe that you're the one, Lord, that's laying the stones and laying the mortar, Lord, and you're establishing, Lord, this house, God. And we ask that in the coming days, God, that we would see more stones and more mortar and more building structure, Lord, in this place, God. We know that there's many lives, Lord, in this area, God, in this valley, Lord, that need to hear your word. Not just from us, Lord, from other houses in this city, Lord, other churches, other places of faith, God. We just believe, God, that you've called your people to this valley for such a time as this. And so, Lord, we do ask that you work in us, Lord. We give you permission to work in us, Lord, and we just look forward to the results that you're going to bring in the coming days, months, weeks, and even years, Lord. And we just thank you for the results. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right. Got just a couple announcements. Men's barbecue, July 23rd, 6:30 p.m. at Zeke's house. I highly encourage you guys to come. It's a great time of just not food, but also fellowship and just a breaking of bread and burgers. And let's make sure that you put that date on your calendar. That's a Wednesday night, by the way. And invite a friend. Don't just come yourself. Bring someone else with you, and there'll be plenty of food. Zeke and Tara make a lot of food. Last time we had so much food that, you guys were probably fed for a day or so after that, right? Praise the Lord. All right. And then we want to thank everyone for giving. Thank you for giving to this house. Thank you for giving your tithes and your offerings. The Lord knows what your needs are, and I believe that he's going to meet all of your needs according to your riches and glory, according to his riches and glory, as you give to him. It says to give, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, men give back unto you. God will use your life and things in your life to give back to you for you being a sower into the kingdom of God. You can give up front, in the back, or online. And then we're going to have the kids come on up. We have one today. One faithful one today. Lord, we pray right now that you would just bless Leigh as she goes down, Lord, and spends time with Lexi, Father. We pray, God, that you would let her receive what you have for her today. Lord, they're planning to paint pictures, Lord, but I pray, Lord, that your heart and your mind and the thoughts on you, Lord, would fill both of them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. How many of you know that God is in control? He is. It says that the man can make plans, but the Lord establishes his steps. So Gay and I, we had plans to share today. Actually brought two chairs up, and as you heard, prayed earlier that Gay suffered from some kind of a weird ear attack. And I don't want to declare what it is publicly because we believe that she's healed and made whole in Jesus' name. But she had to stay home. And so I'm like going, Lord, I just don't feel like I didn't even put the headset on. I don't know if Jesse noticed, but I feel like I'm just not supposed to share this today. So I was going to share something else. I had mentioned to Eric, do you want to sit in with me? And Eric came up to me, I've got the word. So God knew the whole time. He's known from the foundations of the earth that Eric would be sharing today. And so I believe he's got something for us, not just Eric, but the Lord. Open your hearts and receive. Amen. Bring it, Pastor Eric.
All right, praise God. So, it's been a busy couple days for the Lopez family. Busy week, I should say. We recently moved. Out to Titan, back out to Titan. This is the third time the Lopez's has lived in Titan with Tim and Vicky. Thank God for parents that love their children. But we are in the middle of looking for a house. And through, let me just start there. Because like Pastor said, God is in control. God is in charge. God is in the driver's seat. And I just have this conviction that as believers, we have to be willing to give up control, which is easier said than done. If you're like me, I'm somebody who I want to be in control. I want things to go the way I want them to go. I do have a younger sibling, but she's 7 years younger than me, and I don't know stats to prove this, but I feel like if there's a big gap in having kids, like basically those kids are kind of like only children in a way. I know that because I live that. And so essentially I say that to say, because my sister was 7 years younger than me. So, you know, I kind of grew up as an only child in a way, even though she was there, we were always in different seasons of life. And so, I gleaned this thing of this only child thing of like, I need to be in control. When you're following God, though, that doesn't always work. Because when you say yes to Jesus, you lay down your life, or you should be laying down your life. So Nancy and I, last year, you know, Nancy uses the words nomad. We've been kind of nomadic in a way the last 10, 15 years. We've moved a lot, moved down to California, moved to Oregon, moved back here. And so and when you're doing that, it's kind of hard to get established, kind of hard to feel like you're settled anywhere. And it wasn't until the last few years where we felt like, well, God's kind of rooted us back home. We're here. And I got stirred up last year, and I told Nancy, you know, I feel like God's like pointing us to buy a home, like we should buy a home. And we've never done that process. We've never even like looked in that process, just being in ministry and whatnot. It wasn't really a thing. Well, we went and met with a lender and you know, basically what we were approved for was not very much. And so we were like, all right, let's go back to the drawing board. And so we did some work. This year, I got stirred up again, and I told Nance, I think we need to buy a home. I don't know. I feel like God's saying, like, this is the year. And so we go back to our lender, and we had actually doubled the amount we had got approved for. So I was like, oh, this is a real possibility. So now we're looking for a home, and we're renting the home that we were in. And would you know it that, because we were willing to stay there as long as we needed, as well as if we didn't find a home, we're like, we like our home, we like our neighborhood, we'll just stay here forever, right? We'll just rent forever. God is in charge. And when you submit your life to God, he starts to make things very apparent when doors are open and when doors are closed. Amen? Right? If you guys have experienced this, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not, I challenge you to begin to pursue the things that God has put on your heart and watch him open and close doors. So I'm looking for a home. We're going to go find a home. But in the meantime, we're here. We're fine. We're chilling. My landlord gets a hold of me and says, hey, just so you're aware, I have a family member who's going to move back into town, and we're going to need this home back. So I'm giving you guys 2 months. I want to be in control. That doesn't fall in line of what Eric has in, like, that wasn't part of my plan. But God's in charge. And so this is the season that we're in right now. We're believing God for a miracle home. You know, this is why we're grateful for a family that loves us and that's willing to have us with them. And I want to spend some time kind of marrying these two thoughts, that God is in control, God is in charge. Also, a life of a Christian, a life of a disciple is a life of prayer. And it's not just, God, you're in charge, you just take the reins and I'm just going to follow you blindly. It is kind of like that sometimes. Also, he requires and he expects us to pray. He expects believers to have a prayer life. This may seem elementary to some of you, but I think it's important because the longer you are a Christian, the more comfortable you get in your faith and can become complacent in things like prayer, things like fasting, things like attending church, things like just having a devotional life become a little bit mundane. And because you gave your life at an altar 20 years ago or however long ago, you think, yeah, I'm good, I'm fine, which you're fine, but God is calling us to live a life more than just fine. He's calling us to live a life that is extraordinary with him. And the way we get there is through prayer. And so I want to spend some time talking about prayer. And again, being a disciple of prayer is at the core of being a Christian. Okay? This gives us access to Jesus. Jesus assumes that we are going to pray. I don't know if you guys realize this. Jesus assumes that we're going to pray. In Matthew 6, I'm using my daughter's Bible, and it is, it's like driving somebody else's car. So Matthew 6, verse 6, let's actually start in verse 5. This is in the NLT. It says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that it is all the reward that they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Jesus is giving direct direction for people who are going to pray. He's not saying, when you have, you know, if you have time, you know, if you feel like it, he's saying, when you pray. Jesus is assuming that his disciples are going to pray. And before we go any further, I want to challenge us in this. If you get anything out of today, I want to challenge you with this. What does my prayer life look like, and can it be better? What does my prayer life look like right now, and can it be better? And I've been challenged by this recently, which is why this is on my heart, because I realized, like that person I was just talking about a few moments ago, where it gets a little bit mundane, right? I realized that, and it gets even more difficult, and hopefully you guys can see where I'm coming from in this, knowing not everybody is in ministry. But when you get into ministry, sometimes what happens is because you talk about God so much, you feel like you're connected to God. But then you realize, oh, I've been telling people to pray and to read their Bible and to go to church and to do all this stuff. And I myself haven't really connected my heart to that in a while, right? And don't get me wrong, like my relationship with Jesus is solid. But I just realized there are some practices that I've been directing my youth towards, I've been directing my family towards, I've been directing people that I mentor towards, and realize that my area in that, or my practice in that could level up a bit. So what is my prayer life right now, and could it be better? And I had to ask myself that question and realize, yes, it absolutely can be better. All right, don't underestimate the power of taking an assessment of your Christian life. Regardless if you've been saved for a month or you've been saved for decades and decades, you're always going to want to go deeper in the Lord, right? Much like marriage, right? Those of us who have been married a while, you understand that it's, you know, year one has to look different than year 10, has to look different than year 20, meaning it's always going to, it should always be getting better. right? Speaking of, Nancy and I are going to be celebrating 19 years this Monday. Praise God. So again, when you pray, we're standing on ground here. We're sitting on ground. We're here on this campus here on 330 McGonigal Road. And it all based on prayer. I don't know if you guys understand that. For those of you guys who have been around a while, especially those of you who have been in church in the move days, right? Like the church has been through some stuff, and it was through prayer. It wasn't by accident. It wasn't just, oh, here's a great opportunity for these churches to move around and for it all to work out for everybody. No, it was through prayer that God blessed us, that God blessed Life Church, like God bless LFEC, that we're able to be in the buildings we are. Now, just to let you guys know, in some of the backstory is that our church financially was struggling for a long time. And it was only through the grace of God, I believe, through the grace of God, that our doors stayed open, that our lights stayed on, that we had running water. It's only by the grace of God. And in 2023... I met with a friend of mine, and I know Pastor has talked about this story a lot, but I just want to bring it back to the forefront because I believe that through prayer, we got to see a lot of this breakthrough happen. In 2023, I was meeting with my friend Josh Cook. He's a pastor over at Living Faith Victory Center, who they are now in our old building. And he had told me their church is looking to buy property or to buy a building or whatever. And I just kind of kept that in the back of my mind, like, cool, you know, we'll be praying for you. Well, we're going through our own discussion as pastors talking about what is the next step look like? What is, you know, do we go rent another building? We're thinking about storefront options. Are we thinking, we're just trying to figure out what is the next steps, knowing that we can't do what we're doing much longer in the state that we are because the building was a lot bigger than we could afford. It was old and needed updates. There's a lot of stuff that needed to happen. And I got this idea, and it wasn't me, because what happens when you put God in the driver's seat, he gives the good ideas. And so me and Josh, me and, you know, the youth pastor of this church, the youth pastor of their church, people that aren't really the ones making decisions, right? We get to have a voice in decisions, but we're not the ones that are writing the checks and paying the bills, right? We're just the ones that are hanging out with youth and eating pizza and having fun, right? And me and Josh, we were like, I said, your church wants a building or needs a building. We have a bigger building than you. And let's talk about what this can work out. So then what happened was it unfolded. And Pastor Rick, who's the pastor of LFEC, talked to Pastor Mike, and they started talking. And then I don't want to go through all of it because there's a bunch of stuff. Pastor Joel from this church that was here, this church of Life Church, got into the mix. And then what ended up happening is this beautiful thing of all of us getting into a not necessarily a bigger building, not for us, but a better building, I should say that, a better building for each church. And now, not only is One Life Family Worship blessed being in a building that we're able to afford, that we're able to maintain, that's able to fit our congregation, that we're able to grow in, right? But Life Church got a fairly updated building as well, a bigger building than what they were here. They were meeting multiple services in this little room here. And then LFEC, I've walked through the building and that church does not look the same at all. Like, you guys, if any of you guys get a chance to walk through there, I'm telling you, it's a little bit heartbreaking because there's a lot of memories there. I mean, like, you guys have memories. I have memories there as well. But I'm able to see they made it their own, and they put new bathrooms in. They put new floors in. They updated lights, and they made it their own, and it blessed them. Why? All through men of God, women of God coming together, praying and watching God move in this miracle. And it truly is a miracle. Like, you guys, these type of things don't happen very often, right? Churches and individuals have to go through rigorous processes to get placement. A lot of times churches are meeting in school cafeterias, or they're meeting in houses, or they're meeting in different places before they could actually get to a spot. And so for us not to have to sacrifice our meeting space, you know, yes, is it a little bit further drive for a lot of us? Yes. However, it's just a blessing. Amen. One of the cool updates, I will say this, one last thing about our old building is, you guys remember the, I don't even know what you call it, the accordion door thing that we used to open and close to the overflow. So they took those out and they put in garage doors. And so they have those open for like pre-service, and then they shut them, they close them, and that's, and so I don't know. I just thought that was really cool. So it is cool. It, I mean, I walk in there and I'm like, this is a cool church. Like, imagine what can happen when you have a bunch of people and some money. So anyhow, that's no shot to us. God is good. He's been faithful to us. And here's what I want to point out as well is, we need to be grateful as a congregation here at One Life. And I know Pastor is very humble. Pastor Mike and Gay are very humble. But I will say this. There is not many men and women like Pastor Mike and Gay in the way that they pray. I don't know if you guys know this, but Pastor Mike prays for us individually, prays for our ministries individually, just about every day. Okay? And so to have a leader of our house at the forefront praying, which is why I believe One Life still exists. Some of you have been in this room and in the other room and saw where we were, right? And there's not many pastors out there that would show up Sunday after Sunday with just a few people in the room. But because I believe that God has put it on Mike and Gay's heart to continue to pour in and continue to lead this congregation through and with prayer is why we get to still be blessed by it and why people continue to walk through those doors. And I believe many others will as well. And so, but remember, when you pray, there are a couple practicals to this. It's not just about saying some words. There has to be heart behind it when we're coming to God to commune with him in that way. It's not just, yes, there are going to be times where we have a laundry list of complaints, a laundry list of requests, but it's so much more than that. It is having a deep, connected conversation with God. Right? Imagine your best friend, imagine your spouse, imagine your children, imagine somebody you love and care for, right? The conversation gets deep when you open your heart. That's when you feel a deep connection. When you open your heart and say, here is what I'm feeling about this. Here's the requests that I have. So it's not just a saying words, you know, it's not just like writing a letter, putting a stamp on it, throwing it in the mailbox, say, great. No, it's this intimate moment that we get to have with God that we set time aside for. This is a practical to it. And I know life is busy, life is full. I totally can attest to that. However, it's so important and vital as believers that we have a specific time and even specific place that we go to pray. It could be, for me, in our old house before we moved, I loved to go out to our back porch. We just had this back patio. Some of you have seen it. It was just a slab of cement, and then we had our grass, and I would just go out at night, and I would just throw on my earbuds, and I would just throw on some worship and try to not get distracted by, oh, I need to mow my lawn, or, oh my gosh, where the kids didn't pick up the toys, Leona didn't pick up the dog poop, like trying to just close my eyes and just listen to the music, listen to God, and the only way I would get there, though, is if I get quiet. One of the best things we can do is if we can just learn how to shut up. If we can just be quiet for a second. And in this day and age, it's really difficult, especially for the young generation. It's so difficult. But I know that they're not alone in this, because I know we battle it as adults as well. Right? We have our devices, we have our computers, we have our tablets, we have everything that's coming at us, right? We have life coming at us. But if we can just get quiet, and it doesn't have to be a long time, because even as I'm saying this, some of you may be thinking, yeah, that's easy for you to say. When do I have time to do that? It doesn't need to be half an hour. It could be 5 minutes. We have to start somewhere, though. And I've had some really powerful 30-minute, 45-minute prayer times. Equally, I've had some really powerful 3-minute, 5-minute prayer times. It's really not about the length of time. It's about the heart in which I'm doing it. Amen. And yes, I can go outside and just be like, all right, God, here's a couple things, da-da-da-da-da, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, back to it. I could easily do that. But am I not going to get a lot further? Am I not going to feel a lot more connected when I go out and I spend my time, whether, again, if it's 3 minutes, 5 minutes, and say, okay, I'm going to give these moments to you. Right? Any deep relationship, you guys know this, right? The deepest relationships we have are the people that we're willing to give time to. And not just flippant time, not just we're going to waste time, but actual intentional time. I'm giving this time to you. God is asking us for our time. Are we willing to give it? Let's go to Luke 11, verse 1. So Luke 11, 1 says this, it says, once Jesus was in a certain place praying, and as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come. Give us each day the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation. Then teaching them more about prayer, he used a story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me, the door is locked for the night and my family and I are in bed. I can't help you, but I tell you this, though he won't do it for his friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. And so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you not give them or do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask them? Notice this. The disciples came to Jesus and asked him to teach them to pray. Why? Because they knew that Jesus knew how to pray. They knew that Jesus prayed. Do people around you know that you're a person of prayer? When people get around you, do they know, as a Christian, that's an individual that prays? Not, oh yeah, I know them, they go to church. I know them, they go to church out in Selah. No, do they know that you pray? My friend Josh Cook, I was talking about his wife, her name's Katina, and there is little to no doubt that when she says she's going to pray for us, that she's going to pray. In fact, there's this great book, I encourage everybody to read it, it's called Circle Maker, and it's this thought around, I forget who the author is, but it's this thought around intentional praying, essentially. But in the book, what he talks about is he would make this practice of he would on his wall or wherever he did he would write a prayer request. He would circle it, and then he would all the prayer requests he had, he would write in said circle. And the circles became very significant for him for some reason. But it there's great testimonies of they needed this building, this church building, and so he felt like God called him to just walk the block and pray as he was walking the block in a circle in so many ways, and God blessed him with that. I bring that up because Katina has taken that practice seriously, and in downstairs in their basement, it looks a little bit scary, but there's meaning behind it. If you didn't know what was happening, you might be like, is she going to murder all these people? But no, it's this circle, and in the center of it, she has pictures of individuals that she's going to pray for. She has circumstances she's praying for. And so I know when I get around Katina that Katina prays. My wife's this way. I know getting around my wife, she's going to pray. Right? If you want something prayed for, go to Nancy. Because it's not going to be, I'll put that on my prayer list and pray for it later. It's like, we're going to pray for this now. When people get around us as believers, do they recognize that we pray? Yeah. Right? The disciples came to Jesus. Can you teach me to pray? Why? Because they knew you know how to pray. You live a lifestyle of prayer. Teach us to pray. I want to break down a couple of these practicals of the types of prayers. I got this from a sermon that I was listening to recently. And there's probably more than this, but here's a few. So the first one being praise and adoration, right? Just glorifying God. So praise and adoration. This is easy. I would say this is probably this one and Thanksgiving is probably one of the easiest ones. If you're like, I don't know what to pray, just begin thanking God. Amen. Just begin praising God. It's super simple. God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for my home. Thank you for the shoes I have on. Thank you for my spouse. Thank you for my car. You just begin thanking God, and before you know it, things will begin to flow out of you, right? So just begin there. So praise and adoration. The next one I'll hit is thankfulness or thanksgiving, because those are the easiest ones I think that we can get to. Here's one that I think that many of us should practice, including myself, is forgiveness. Okay? A lot of times it's not easy to go to the person, although we need to make that a practice as well, going to the person. But sometimes the things where we need to start is just praying for forgiveness for ourselves as well as for the individuals that maybe we have offenses for or towards. Okay? Say their name out loud. I'll say this as well. If you're offended with somebody or somebody's bothering you, begin praying for them. I could guarantee you that your heart's going to start to change if you begin praying for them. And it's easier said than done, believe you me, because you're like, oh, Lord, I pray that you bless them and that they don't get hit by a car tomorrow. But the reality of it is, I'm joking, right? But you begin praying for them, and what happens is that because you're opening up your heart, God sees your heart. He begins to touch that space, and then there's a chance, a very good chance, you begin to feel what He feels for them. So, praying forgiveness, supplication, okay, or this is requests. This is where I think the majority of the world treats God as kind of, and hear my heart when I say this, but because I've done it before as well, but we treat God as kind of like the slot machine, right? I put my little prayer token in, cha-ching, hopefully something good comes out, right? And there's nothing wrong with requests, but we have to move past always just, I only come to God when I need something. Because like, you would never have a relationship like that in your own life. Right, other than your kids, right? Because all of our kids do that. Sometimes they only come to us when they need something. But as far as having an adult relationship, right? Or imagine if your spouse relationship was like that. If they only came to you when, oh, I need money for this, or I need this to be fixed, right? Like, unfortunately, that's a lot of times what we treat God like. So we have to make sure that, yes, God is there for our requests. We just read the parable that God talked about. Going and knocking and asking, and there is a time for that, but it has to be more than that, okay? So supplication. Faith. Hey, prayer faith. Praying, this is where my wife, I believe, it lands a lot of times, is her prayers are big asks. And not just for big asks' sake. She's praying because she believes in the God of the Bible, and she believes that God can and will do miraculous things in our lives, okay? And so having praying for things of faith, things that you, even if you don't have faith for it, right? Even if you don't know, like, I actually don't know if that relationship's going to work out. I don't know if that person can receive Christ. I don't know if that person is going to change. I don't know if that money's going to come. I don't know. But this is where you come to God and say, I'm going to lift this up to you, and I'm going to pray in faith because of this. Praying in agreement. Okay, this is when most of the time we're coming together, right? This is when we come together, right? And like the word says, where two or three gather in my name, I am there amidst them, right? That is us praying together in agreement. And I would challenge you as well that if you have not made it a practice to pray with other people, that you would get around people, individuals that are willing to pray with you and pray with them. There's something supernatural and something powerful that happens when we pray with one another. Okay? We're not meant to do this life alone. All right, let's read, listen to my last verse, Luke 22:39. It says, then accompanied by the disciples, Jesus left the upstairs room and went as usual to the Mount of Olives. There he told them, pray that you will not give in to temptation. He walked about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, please take the cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. He prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. At last he stood up again and returned to the disciples, only to find them asleep, exhausted from grief. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray so that you will not give into temptation. Jesus modeled a life of prayer even up until he went to the cross. Jesus was the perfect example, and obviously we can stand back and say, well, I'm not Jesus. The problem with that thinking is that we're called to be like Jesus. And so Jesus's our life in every facet as a believer, as a disciple, needs to reflect Jesus, okay? In his character, in how he treated people, but also in his practices. And what I see Jesus doing is I see Jesus with everything going to the Father, even up to his last dying breath, going to the Father. Yep. And I want us to be thinking about what is it that I need to be praying to God for. One of the most interesting things to me in church, in Christian circles, you get around Christians, anybody need prayer? And you might get a few, yeah, pray for this, pray for that. But then you get a few, it's like, no, I'm good. We always need prayer. Not saying that your life has to be a mess and that, yeah, I need prayer because, you know, I'm about to divorce my wife, or I need prayer because, you know, my car's broken down outside. Like, it doesn't always have to be something. Sometimes it is. But I think that it's important that we, again, take an assessment in what do I need breakthrough in? What do I actually need God to come in, and how come I'm not praying about it? How come I'm not bringing it to him? How come I've gotten to the driver's seat and said, it's okay, God, I have this one. I've been down this path before, God. I know how to navigate this. Instead of, God, I'm going to believe that you actually know a better way to get through this. Because I've tried. I've tried to navigate this, and I've tried to handle this situation. And actually, it's only been a Band-Aid of a solution. But when I let you in the driver's seat, it actually gets resolved. When I let you drive, it actually comes to completion. But that only happens when I lay it down and I pray. So what is it in our lives, and Caden, you can come back up, and we'll go back into worship for a little bit. But what is it in our lives that we need God to come in and pray? Right now, full transparency, I mean, I already talked about it. Full transparency, we need a home. Now, we can go rent another home and continue that, but I'm really truly feeling that God is saying for the Lopezes, you guys are rooted here for right now, and it's time for you guys to get a home. Now, if I never have a home, like a physical, like I buy a home, I'm fine. Like, I'm good. But again, I just feel something in my heart that God's saying, this is the time. Get a home. So that's what I'm seeking God for. And I'm believing God for. And being someone who wants control, it's really hard. Because again, it wasn't in my plans. It wasn't in when I started this process, right? It wasn't in my plans to move my family of six back with Nancy's parents. That wasn't part of my plan. But as I'm seeing it, I'm like, all right, God, you knew. You knew, God, that we would begin looking for a home and starting this process. You knew, God, that our landlord would come in and say, hey, we need this home back. You knew, God, that you just knew. And so my prayer, my petition to God is like, all right, I'm in your will, and I'm going to look for this home. And I like this home, but God, I want it to be your home. And every home we go into, this is my thought. Yes, I like this home, but God, I want you to like this home. I want you to be in this home. I want you to walk through these hallways and walk through this dining room and walk through this kitchen. I want you to be the one that's saying, this is where you're supposed to be. And how do I land there? I land there through me laying down the control in prayer, praying with my wife, right? Taking my disciplines and my devotion seriously. I've never done this before. I have a reminder on my phone, and it says, it goes off at 11 p.m. Pray. You know why? Because generally there's not a lot of distractions at 11 p.m. for me. Little kids are in bed. Big kids are in bed. I'm usually either watching something, or I'm on my phone, or I'm reading or something, but I not sleep. And so the thing that I've challenged myself to do, and I'm not saying you have to do this, but I'm just saying for me, is like, hey, you need a reminder to pray? Here's a reminder. At 11 p.m., go and take some time to pray. Because it has to be a core value of ours as disciples. If you want to see things change and shift, pray. If you want to see that individual that needs a touch from God, pray. We want to see the healings, pray. If we want to see the breakthrough, pray. I don't know how we get around this. I don't know how we get around this as believers. Do we pray or not pray? It's not even the question. Jesus said, when you pray. When you pray. If you have families, you have kids in your home, gather them and pray. And I know for some of us, like, this is a little bit of a culture shift, right? But prayer has to be of high priority in our lives. I would say, even more important than you showing up on a Sunday. I'm not saying stop coming to church, but what I'm saying is, what would happen if the church was a praying church and not just a people who came to church? What would happen if the body of Christ was a praying body of Christ and not just a Sunday body of Christ? I think we would still come to church, yes, but I think that we would stop excusing, well, I attended church, so then I'm good. Until next Sunday, I don't need to pray or read my Bible because I got my fix on Sunday. And some of us, I think sometimes that happens subconsciously. We don't even know what's happening. But prayer has to be top priority. We have to have a top priority. Reading our word and praying, these are so basic instructions, but I feel like it just needs to be said that if we want to grow as individuals, if we want to grow in our faith, right? It's not necessarily another church service. It's getting home, getting quiet, getting in this thing, praying, laying it all down to God, gathering with your spouse and praying, gathering with your kids and praying, being in your car. And my favorite prayer times are in my car. Like, honestly, in my car. Try it. It's amazing. So I'm going to pray. And what I want us to do here is I want us to focus in on, God, what are you doing in my life, and where do I need you to show up? What are the things that I need to lay down to you? What are the things that how am I going to get closer with you in my quiet time? Where am I going to make my quiet time? God, I pray right now that you would just begin speaking to your children, that you would give them, God, instruction. They would begin to envision the space in their home, the space in their lives that they're going to make for you, God. God, I thank you, God, that you're faithful to meet us, God. You're faithful to meet us, God. Lord, and you're faithful in the process, Lord. Lord, whether we're just beginning this process, God, and we only have the capacity to spend a few moments with you, God, you're faithful in that process, God. I thank you, God, that just as much as you show up in a gathering that's 2 hours, Lord, you could show up, Lord, in a prayer time that's 5 minutes. God, we thank you for your presence, God. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just encourage your children right now. Lord, that you would stir them up, God. You would stir them up, God, to want to pursue you more, to want to create that quiet time more, to create that space with you more, God, to create that intimate bond with you, God. I pray, Lord, for those, Lord, who are struggling right now, who are struggling in their faith, who are struggling in hearing your voice right now. You would begin to speak to them in this moment, God. You would give them a sense of your presence right now, God. I pray, Lord, that for those who don't know how to do this process, who are confused by it, God, you would send the right people, God. You would send the right believers to come around them, God. Speak to your children, Jesus. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. God, I pray, Lord, that we would not complicate this process. We thank you for the simple gospel, the simple truth, God, of your love, of your kindness, of your mercy. And I just pray as we leave this place today, Jesus, as we leave this space, God, that our hearts would burn. Our hearts would burn to spend time with you, to spend moments with you, God. That we leave this place praying in the car with our families. Before we go to bed, we would pray, Lord, and we would lift up, God, not only our needs, God, but our adoration towards you, God, our thanksgiving towards you, God. And I just thank you for this in Jesus' name. Well, let's worship you guys.
To God.
is in control, isn't he? Knew just what we needed today, knows what we'll need tomorrow, and knows what we'll need the next day. But I feel compelled to have all the Lopezes. I know they're not all here. Leanna, can you come on up? Caden, I guess you have to stop playing. But I really want all of us, especially those of us who have homes now, and the Lord's provided for you, to just have them, want them to come up, and we're going to lay hands on them, and just believe that God has the exact place that they need to be, that they'll be able to afford, that they'll be able to use, because this is in their heart, to bless the kingdom of God, have people over that can have, enjoyment times with them. And, this is a ministry family. So I believe this is going to be a hub place for ministry. Amen. So God, come on up, guys. We're going to lay hands on you. All of you who have a home that the Lord has provided, because maybe you say, well, I got a home because I have a good job. No, he gave you the ability to have a good job. That's why you have a home. And these have been individuals that have put off having a house so that they could reach people for the true house of God. And I believe that the Lord's going to honor them for that. As you honor him, he will eventually honor you. So Lord, we thank you for this family. Lord, we thank you for Nancy and Deegan, who are not here right now, but Lord, we just by faith believe that in the spirit they're here with us. And Lord, we believe, God, that you have the perfect place in Yakima, Lord, for this family. Lord, a place, God, that will have plenty of room, Lord, for them, but then also plenty of room for those that you bring into their lives, whether it's to sit on their back porch and share in the kingdom, or whether it's to give a place for someone to spend the night. Lord, we know that this family has put everything in life pretty much on the back burner for many years. And Lord, they've done it because they love you and they love your people. So right now, God, we pray that you would just allow the heavens to open up and that they would pour out a blessing on this family that they would not even be able to contain, Lord, that it would overflow, Lord. Lord, that there would be so many testimonies that would come from how you provided this place for them, Lord. I recently saw the miracles of getting our place where we're at right now, God. I know that you have no problem doing the amazing and the impossible. So right now we believe, God, for the impossible. We know they've been given a certain amount that they can buy, Lord, but we know, God, that that's not what you're tethered by. You have the ability to bring in, Lord, all the resources of heaven and allow them to receive something that is way above, Lord, what they normally would have been able to afford, God. So we thank you, God, that place is being released right now, and Lord, you have your timing in heaven, and we agree with that timing right now for this home, for this family. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, everyone. We love you guys. Have a great day.